Welcome to Memento Talis, where the dice decide and moments are made. I'm Liv, your lightkeeper, your friend, your adversary, and everyone in between as Game Master. And these are my friends.
I'm Israel, and I'm playing Manny Quinteros, a magician bartender.
Hi everyone, I'm Samantha. I'm playing Maud Florley, who is a medium and also an embalmer at her family funeral home.
What's up? I'm Rachel, and I play Arden Barlow, an investigative journalist.
And this is The Circle, a fragmented glass. We're playing Candela Obscura, a game made by Darrington Press. If you'd also like to join the investigations, you can buy the game at darringtonpress.com. Now let's roll some dice. A lone man walks the hallways of West Wreck Memorial Museum. His footsteps echo on the marble, the sound bouncing off the displays and walls. He stops in front of a display of dog tags, their metal singed, warped, and discolored, and reads the inscription underneath. To our fallen brothers and sisters of Hale, we salute you. The man tilts his head back up to the dog tags, pushing his glasses upwards, studying the metal against the brand new electric lights that hang from the ceiling. One of the dog tags catches his eye, and he reaches forward, almost instinctively, like the item called to him silently. As soon as his hand makes contact with the metal chain, he's struck by a bolt of electricity that shoots through him upward into the light bulb, sparks raining down upon him. The man falls to the floor, his body smoking and convulsing. Other individuals from around the room run to his side. Someone shouts for the periphery. Another person runs to get aid. As his breath leaves his body for the final time, he whispers, "I saw what they did." Last we left off, you guys had traversed through the underground tunnels of Cascadia and had team bonding moments, and then came across a ship parked in the secret harbor underneath Cascadia, and to everyone's surprise, it's Manny's ex-girlfriend, and she's kidnapping people for reasons, and she shot him. Now, we return to our team of investigators. It has been about 4 weeks since the last assignment. What have you all been doing? Let's start with Maud.
Cool. Maud has been hanging out with everyone's favorite old lady, Dorothy, at the flower shop that she's secured a job at, Daisies of the Wind, for the last 4 weeks. So she's been kind of learning from Dorothy, chit-chatting. They're really just two old ladies that love to gossip together and, like, while they're chopping flowers.
Oh, and she appreciates the health because her old arthritic hand can't really chop the flowers as much anymore.
I think Maud is doing the chopping, and she's getting, I don't know about beefier, but she's definitely getting physically stronger because of it, maybe. So that's like her workout routine, is helping Dorothy cut flowers.
And actually, one of those days, you get a visit from Maeve. She comes into the shop. She's looking at the flowers, eyeing them, inspecting them.
Hey Maeve, how's it going?
It's going all right. How are you doing?
I'm doing great for myself here. When you moved us here initially, I was a little bit hesitant being away from home, but I feel like maybe this is where I'm meant to be right now. So, in a weird way, thank you, I guess?
Don't thank me. I know it's difficult, and I'm always here if you need anything.
Much appreciated. Are you just browsing, or can I help you find anything in particular?
I need some flowers for a grave.
You're in luck. That's kind of my specialty. Is there anything in particular you want this soul to, I guess, be imparted upon by you?
He was my fiancé. So, just care. Love and care.
I'm so sorry to hear that, Maeve.
It was a long time ago.
If you don't mind, and she's saying this while walking around the shop and gathering up the flowers that Maeve is looking for, was he in Candela?
He was. He was an excellent investigator.
With that, Maud is going to finish wrapping up her bouquet. Lavender ribbon with pink carnations, marigolds, and some purple hyacinths in the mix, along with some baby's breath for Maeve. And as she hands it to her, she lets her hand kind of linger on Maeve's in her attempt of a consolation.
Thank you, Maude. It's been a long time. And she'll take the flowers and she'll leave. Is there anything else in that time you want to do?
Oh, actually, I did have something else. Manny, if you're cool with it, at the end of our last adventure, Maude took a handgun from the person that Arden literally stabbed in the heart with a kitchen knife. So, and Maude does not know how to shoot at all. So if you wanted to have a scene of Manny showing her the ropes, I think that would be interesting. But your call.
Yeah, I'd be okay with that.
We can play this out later, but that can be Maude's turn for now.
Who wants to be next? Manny? Manny?
Manny, his attitude for the most part has withdrawn, much more so than the group has gotten to know him over the last while. Since that night, he's spent most of his days, if he wasn't in the bar during the day working or cleaning up or doing stuff, or late into the evening working, at least into the mornings, he spends most of his days, unless you followed him, you don't know where. He's been around town researching and looking for something. You just know that, you know when to find him at the bar and when to find him at the Circle House. But other than that, you guys, and other than the evenings before he goes to work and hangs out with Arden, or when he was training with Maude, you honestly don't know where he's been or what he's been doing. You just know that he seems focused and is less jovial overall than he has normally been known to be. Still quick-witted, still sarcastic and deflective, but there's been an edge to him lately that shows that his mind is elsewhere. What he's been looking for, the party doesn't know. They just know that he's been around and been looking.
And actually, like, during some of those, evenings when you're, late at work, Maeve has come and visited you. No words said, just, has sat there with you in solace. Arden, what have you been doing?
In the months since the end of the previous assignment, Arden has been dedicating herself to getting back into the swing of things and writing more regularly and consistently. She has sought out work for any of the local papers. She's fixed up her resume. She's pulled out writing samples. And she's gone in to offices and inquired about potential employment options. She's also taken some time to really familiarize herself with Cascadia and learn to really enjoy taking some solo walks every now and then, rather than staying cooped up in her apartment and journaling, which she still does, but she has made it a goal to get outside and be more a part of society than she used to. Occasionally, she'll stop by Daisies of the Wind and visit Maude at work, just to see how she's doing on a regular day, that they're not in life-threatening situations, hunting down very sketchy leads. At night, she'll try to make it to the bar to hang out with Manny, catch up, and touch bases with him. She has noticed Manny's change in attitude and behavior, and she has noticed he's become a bit more withdrawn, but as is normal with them, she's never really pushed for information. She just wants to be a supporting force. So they talk, they share a few drinks, then she goes home and continues working. She has learned how to make better coffee, so she's working a lot more efficiently through the night now. But aside from that, she has been trying to reestablish some sense of order and consistency in her day-to-day schedule.
And you too see Maeve every now and again, just around town. You're not entirely sure what she's doing, but she'll give you a little gloved hand wave every now and again.
When I see Maeve, I always respond politely with a slight air of anxiety, because the only other times I've seen Maeve are usually when something's up and there's an assignment. But it's been nice to see Maeve just about, and I'll always respond with a soft smile and a wave back.
she smiles too, at least the half of her face that can, and, you know, continues on with whatever she's doing. No one's quite sure. But, you know, after, you know, 4 weeks, you guys, each one of you and your prospective locations, receive another note to meet at the chapter house.
All right, Maud, so what you need to know before you get to shooting this gun is how to be safe with it. So we're going to go over a few basic rules so that way, while we're practicing, I don't get shot, you don't shoot yourself, or we don't hit anybody else who may be in the vicinity of us while we practice. So one of the first things you're going to do is, whether or not this weapon is loaded, you're going to treat it as if it is. So right now, it's not loaded. So I'm going to insert the rounds for you and show you how to do so.
She's like sheepishly peering over his shoulder, trying to take mental notes.
Secondly, you always keep the muzzle pointed in a direction that is safe. Safe means not pointed at anyone you like. Does that make sense?
Yeah, should be easy enough.
All right. Third thing you're going to do is keep your finger outside of the trigger guard. Good rule of thumb is to keep your finger straight and off the trigger. So I want you to hold it, and I want you to show me what that would look like.
Where are they right now for context?
Where they're going to be right now, I would assume, is a slight ways out of town, near some farms in the woods, up in the hills a little bit. They basically just took a cart out, took a horse ride, and got dropped off in the middle of the woods.
And there's like rail lines around town that you guys can take, and then, you know, carriages to wherever you need. And you guys have adopted this place outside of Cascadia that's an old mine. And, you know, you have adapted it to fit your needs, put up targets and things like that.
Yeah, she goes ahead and, looking at Manny pantomiming with his own fingers, carefully mirrors him.
Now, we're going to practice aiming. And so when we're looking at a target, I want you to pick a tree out there. And what I want you to notice is what's in front of your target and what's behind your target. So whatever tree we're looking at out there, just get an idea of what you're looking at. He'll proceed to give you some basic instruction on how to hold your weapon, how to position your body, how to keep your arms slightly bent and your wrist straight, and then how to focus not at the target, but on the end of the muzzle in order to improve your accuracy, focusing on a blurry target behind it rather than in focus of the target. It will help align the shot a lot better. And so he goes through better postures and kind of adjusts your frame and moves your hands and pulls your shoulders a little, kind of just adjusting you, and then takes his own weapon. And as you're both aimed down, he says, "Now it's going to be loud." And he pulls a shot. How does she receive the instruction? How does she kind of fall into after the initial shots from Manny?
I think definitely that first one was way louder than she had expected. I don't know if she'd ever heard gunshots previously before that last adventure. And so I think hearing it now, it sounds a lot different. It's louder because it's closer, definitely more echoed. But I think it excites her for sure. Is that she gets to learn this new thing from someone who's, like, clearly a professional. So I think she's a little bit scared at first, but only of where she knows that this could go in the future for her, like what this means.
As the lessons go on and the practice continues, Manny does make a lot of note about the danger and the intent when pulling this out, that it is to protect yourself and to protect those around you. If it comes out and the safety is off, to be prepared to take that shot and to imagine those situations every once in a while, as scary as they may be, in order to prepare your mind to be willing to do what is necessary, as scary and as final as those thoughts may be.
Maybe not in one of the first sessions, but maybe later on when she's more comfortable getting the hang of it. Asks Manny, where'd you learn this? This is unlike anything I've ever done before.
I had parents who were very adventurous, and one of the things they taught me before I lost them was how to take care of myself in any given situation. And they were a bit of a, I guess you could say, survivalists in that sense. And yeah, they made sure I knew what I was doing and I knew how to take care of myself and the people I care about.
I'm sorry to hear that, Manny.
It's okay. I got a new family.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you. My parents weren't too keen on teaching us actual life skills. They're more obsessed with the dead. Much appreciated.
Yeah, the dead are too quiet for me.
I think the living are not quiet enough for me, so...
That's fair. But yeah, let's head back.
So as the sun is setting that day and you guys are sweaty, you return back to Cascadia. Are you guys returning back to Tavern, or...?
Manny would... basically lives there anyways, so yeah. That's where he basically goes and cleans up in the back and at first prepares for a shift at work, but is then handed a letter.
Actually, for you, it, who's the tavern keeper? I forgot his name.
I remember Hunky Godric, but that's it.
Phil, isn't it?
I think it was... What was it?
Duncan.
Duncan
with the walrus mustache.
There it is. Where did Phil come from?
It's Duncan who tells you that Maeve is waiting for you at the chapter house.
What?
Sorry, it just caught up to me. They said Hunky Godric.
Sorry. It's just the facts. Just the facts. That's what's in my notes.
Just the facts.
Maud thirsty.
I literally, always.
My notes have Godric as blonde, clean-shaven, and an average-looking dude.
I'll take what I can get in Cascadia.
Rest in peace, Godric. No, wait, Godric survived. That's right, he survived.
Yes, he's my dirty little prisoner.
Oh my gosh!
I hope this podcast blows up and we have Maud fan fiction, because it's going to be wrong.
Ship name is Modric, hello?
Okay.
Okay, we gotta work this in somehow. Anyways, please continue.
No worries. Imad, as you go back to your place, you find a little note under your door from Maeve that says, please meet at the chapter house. And same for you, Arden. When you get home from work that day, you're tired, probably a little sweaty. It's been a long day at work. And you too find a little note from Maeve.
I stare at the note for a few seconds. Sigh. Grudgingly pick it up and open it.
It reads, something came up, please meet at the Portland Speakeasy, ASAP. Signed, M.
Shit. Okay. Arden is going to... Getting the sense that, from experience, these meetings are not typically quick wrap-ups, she makes a quick cup of coffee and chugs it before heading out for the bar.
Mom, do you do anything when you get the note? Do you...
I think she places it with her, on her nightstand, with all the other, her little doodles and other stationery papers, puts on her night shawl and gets ready to head out on the town.
Damn, Mom's getting into this city life.
Who knows if Godric is gonna be there, you know?
And you know what, as you get to the Portland Speakeasy, he's in fact working a shift. He's actually in the back, in the kitchen.
And he can cook, too. Can I see him from the entrance?
Yeah, as you come in, Manny waves at you from the bar. You can kind of see, you know, through the kitchen window, you see him working, flipping a burger, roasting a fish.
Yeah, I think she... tries. I think she's a little too shy to catch his attention just yet. I know she put on her new night shawl that she bought at the downtown stores this week, like for the purpose of impressing Godric. But I think now that he's working and she sees him in like the apron and he's very focused, I think she probably gets too nervous to actually do anything about it. So she'll probably just like dart to their secret meeting area.
Do I see any of these reactions? And do I make note of it before I take a cue to leave and go downstairs as well?
You know what? I'm going to have you do a read roll for me, please.
All right. Because I got a plan if I do.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy, indeed. I got a 1 and a 6. I'm gonna take that 6.
Yeah, you see this entire interaction going from the corner of your eye as you are doing your thing. You were shaking up drinks, and you see Maud come in, first of all. And of course, you recognize Maud. You see where her eye line looks. You look behind you, and you see Godric there just cutting onions.
I already know this dude is clueless, so as I wave to Maud and you know, letting her know, hey, we gotta go downstairs, I'm gonna run to the back really fast, and I'm gonna grab a set of travel boots that Manny had purchased for Maud, given our last adventure and her feet getting all messed up and getting her shoes messed up. So he bought her some nice travel boots. And he's going to give them to Godric and say, hey, can you bring these out to Maud for me?
He confusingly takes the boots. He's like, what?
Yeah. Just do me a favor, take them out to Maud for me. I'll finish this up for you. I gotta head downstairs anyway, so I wanted to get this order wrapped up.
And he'll take the boots, and he's like, there's an order coming in. Do you now?
I'll get it started. You can finish it when you get back. I'm gonna get this one wrapped up though, because I want to get this to the customer. And yeah, just take these out to Maud for me.
So he'll take the boots, and he'll see Maud, obviously recognizing her from the previous assignment, and sheepishly hands the boots, going, "These are for you."
What an instigator.
Look, Manny's been out of it, and this is the first time he's felt something other than despair. So he's trying to get out of his own head right now.
I walk into the bar.
Arden, do you want to see this?
I do want to see this.
All right. Roll a read for me, please.
That's a 5.
Yeah, Arden sees this too. I mean, this is a low stakes thing. So she definitely sees this interaction going on with Godric just sheepishly handing the boots over to Maud.
I think Maud's gonna like slowly take the boots and then squeak out a thank you and then ask, are these for me?
Godric blushes. Yeah, Manny told me to give these to you.
Oh, Manny put you up to this.
I don't know what's going on. I should get back to the kitchen. It's good seeing you. It's good seeing you, Matt.
Yeah. You too, Godric. And she pushes her bangs out of her face a little bit.
And he, like, awkwardly, like, pats you on the shoulder, too, as he leaves.
Okay, I think Maud is a mess right now. And she's gonna make a beeline to Manny.
So upon entering the bar and seeing Godric approach Maud with a pair of boots, Arden took immediate interest. And she kind of stays close to the door, takes a few steps in, and really stalls fixing and adjusting different articles of clothing on her body so she can be witness to this interaction or whatever it was. Just kind of laughed herself in amusement and go over and join the others.
So Manny's now walking out of the kitchen. So, did you say hi to Godric?
Yeah, I said hi to your little delivery boy. What about it, Manny?
Figured you might want to talk to him.
And I figured you would want to head in and hear about our assignment.
You know what? I think I do.
She would want to inspect the boots that Manny got her.
They're a solid travel boot. Leather made. There is a generic little, like, daisy-style flower stitched into the top. And a nice wool, like a sheep's wool lining around the top of the boot. And a nice rounded toe and a thick traveled sole.
She can't even be mad at him anymore because these are just so dang cute. Thank you, Manny. She, like, grumbles it under her breath.
You're very welcome for both things. I mean, like, gives her a little side hug as they walk towards the meeting room.
She, like, claps his back harder than maybe normal in response.
Arden has been tying and untying her scarf as this whole conversation happens. She just stands to the side and watches this confusing tension.
And as you guys enter the secret chamber of the chapter house, you notice that Duncan has made a few upgrades. The entrance is now a hidden telephone booth, kind of in the back corner of the tavern, where if you go in the booth and then you press a few buttons on the, or like you have to, it's a circle thing, you have to switch it a few times in the right order, and a secret door will open and you get let into the secret room.
Right, so I know I'm the old man of this playgroup, It's a rotary phone.
Yeah, I forgot the word for a second. Rotary. It's a rotary phone. And you see Maeve at the desk working on something. She looks like she hasn't slept very much recently. And she's working. She hasn't acknowledged you guys as you came in.
Arden's gonna clear her throat and take a few steps towards Maeve. Maeve, you call this?
She kind of like jerks up. Yes, sorry, I was in the middle of something. Yes, there has been an incident reported to us by the curator of the Westwreck Memorial Museum.
What kind of an incident?
She hands out the dossiers. It seems that we have discovered an artifact that has been in that museum, and it was activated recently. We're not entirely sure how, but it ended up killing someone. Simple assignment. I just need you guys to go to the museum, pick it up, and come back here. Easy peasy.
Let me get this straight. An artifact killed somebody?
We assume it's infused with bleed. At least that's what the curator believes. They've moved it very, very carefully to the basement to be kept safe from the general public.
How are we supposed to transport it?
She hands out a bleed containment vial for you.
Manny grabs it.
It electrocuted someone. Kind of usual for bleed, but the museum is in Storm Rock of Cascadia.
I'm just charged up for this assignment. What about you guys?
Oh boy. Oh, Manny.
You're not amped up for this, Mott?
You know what? I think if I just ignore you, maybe you'll stop.
You know that's not true.
I know. And she puts her head in her hands.
Arden kind of looks between the two of them and just utterly confused and lost. Looks back at the dossier, looks back at Maeve, and asks, do we have an idea of what this artifact looks like?
From the report, it appears to be a dog tag.
Arden's going to take a few notes in her journal. She's going to take it out of the inside pocket of her coat, scribble down some notes, and put it back in the pocket. Straighten out her coat, kind of throw her arms around Manny and Maud and say, okay, I don't know what's happening here, but let's focus in, guys. Either of you been to Storm Rock?
No.
It's new to me.
And for those of you who are unaware, Storm Rock is where the periphery resides. Legal buildings and Cascadia Prison are also around there. Railroads flow through the district and stop here to pick up and drop off travelers.
What do we know about the museum?
And as you say that, Arden, Maeve just kind of goes back to her work. She's not paying attention very much. She's busy, it seems.
Can I make a roll to see what she's writing or reading?
Sure. Let's do a survey roll.
Okay. That's a 3, so never mind.
You catch maybe a word, but it's kind of confusing. It's a rabies? You see the word rabies.
Maeve, is everything okay on your end? Outside of this assignment, I mean?
It's fine. I'm just doing a little bit of my own investigation.
Do we have any information on the person that was electrocuted?
Just a average-looking young man. His name's Leonard. He worked at one of the local factories. That's all we really got on him.
What time would you say it is right now?
I'll say it's probably, mid-afternoon, getting into the more evening.
Maeve, do the people at the museum, are they aware that we'll be going in to investigate, or...?
Yes, the curator there. His name is Jackson. He's the one that informed us of what had occurred. However, the periphery will also be there. So, be on the lookout and try to keep a low profile. But he will be there, and he'll be able to take you to where the artifact is.
Okay, then I say we gotta move on. What do you think, guys?
Let's do it.
And you guys catch a carriage over to Storm Rock. In this part of town, while Cascadia is normally like gothic with a little bit of gold accents, a little bit of art deco kind of vibe, Storm Rock being more of the governmental kind of area of Cascadia, it's a little utilitarian. There's still gold accents though. The gold accents are throughout the city in remembrance of the city's history as a gold mining town. So the museum itself is a small little memorial dedicated to the soldiers who died in the West Wreck event during the Great War. West Wreck being a portion outside of New Fair of land that rumors have it that a huge bomb was dropped onto this area during the battle, and this is what stopped the war itself. It destroyed a lot of Otherwear's armies, and unfortunately there was casualties on the Halen side as well. However, there is no legitimate evidence of said weapon ever to have been found by the public.
As we're approaching in the carriage, Arden is going to turn over to Maud, gesture towards the view outside the window, and almost teasingly ask, I don't know about this place, what do you rate it?
The way that Liv described it, if I'm getting the right image, is like one of those brutalism, like concrete McDonald prisons. Maud is not into this look. I think she is probably all this government money and they really had to do the worst exterior design possible. It doesn't surprise me, but I am still disappointed to say the least. And she'll kind of like nudge Arden back playfully, knowing that she was just trying to get a rise out of her.
Manny, how you doing?
Still kicking, just not as high. Manny's, the whole ride, Manny's just been kind of staring out the window, zoned out.
The carriage stops in front of a building, same sort of brutalistic kind of architecture, but there's a little bit, there's this slight bit more design to it. Like, it's not so rigid in terms, and out in the front in gold lettering it says West Wreck Memorial Museum.
When he exits first, surveys, looks around the area. Does he see anything untoward or suspicious?
Rolled a survey, please.
As he does that, Arden is also going to exit the carriage and give a tip to the driver.
The driver takes it, thankfully. Have a nice day.
Three.
No, you really don't see too much. You see the brutalistic architecture. However, you do notice, I'll give this for you free, you do notice the periphery. There's a presence of the periphery in the area. Some things are blocked off, and there's people milling about.
It's kind of more of that police presence.
Mm-hmm.
Do they have uniforms on?
Yes, I believe they should. It's very militaristic. In terms of, you know, very plain kind of shirt and trousers. They're in like a deep maroon red color. They have their little badges with the three lightning bolts.
Something tells me these guys won't be making our lives very easy.
They eye you, but they don't stop you as you go in.
I always imagined them like British police, the bobby police officers, basically.
Yeah, like that, but in like a deep maroon red color. Some of the police take notice of you, but they don't say anything.
Manny's just gonna wait for the ladies to begin making their way up the stairs towards the museum. I assume there's stairs? I'm pretty sure there's stairs. It's a museum. It's gotta have stairs.
Are they crowded around any areas in particular, or are they just kind of all out equally by the front entrance?
They're all just kind of meandering about, keeping a watch out. As you know, supernatural events aren't commonly known amongst the people of Hale, so for them, someone tried to kill someone else.
I guess I'll lead the group into the museum.
As you step into the museum, there's this beautiful entrance hall. There's banners on walls that are showing, you know, the brave heroes who were in the war, who perished. Just, you know, a lot of artwork, a lot of, you know, things like that. A little bit of the history of the war itself for people who don't know. A interestingly edited version of the events that happened at West Wreck, in which, you know, of course, the Halen soldiers appear to be more heroic. And as you enter into the entrance hall, you actually see the captain of the periphery. And he is this, you know, tall man, short buzz cut of a hair style. And he's talking to one of his officers.
I think Maud bumps a little bit into Arden and kind of under her breath goes, see, like, this is a little patriotic for my taste, but this is how you decorate.
Arden finds that really amusing, but she's, for the sake of them being in a public setting that is undergoing investigation, she kind of stifles her laugh and keeps walking towards the front desk.
The front desk, you see a small size woman. She's working on some things. Her little name tag says Junior Curator Stevens. Her blonde hair is up in a tight bun, and she's wearing kind of a lab coat kind of situation. And she is getting things in order. And you can see her kind of like saying things to the captain every now and again.
I'm going to walk up. Hi, may I ask where Curator Jackson is?
Hello, who might you be?
Oh, I'm Arden. And Arden is going to very quickly and as discreetly as possible flash her candela pin.
Junior Curator Stevens, her eyes kind of go a little wide when she sees this. And like she kind of like grabs her glasses and starts, you know, cleaning them. She's like, oh, yes. Jackson was expecting you guys. I believe he is further into the museum. I'm not entirely sure where he is. I know he's been talking to officers all day. But why don't you head in? I'm sure you'll find him.
Okay, great. Thank you. Appreciate it. Come on, guys.
And as you pass, she's like, as you are. She's very nervous.
Nanny winks at her as he walks by.
That makes her even more nervous.
Moving on from Serena so quickly, Manny. That was not Maud. That was me. Yeah.
Oh, I know.
So you guys head into the museum. You see stairs. You see a little gift shop. You see interactive kind of things. They're like, this is what it was like living as a soldier in the trenches. But as you get to the back of the museum, you see this wall of helmets. Soldiers' helmets. They're like layered upon layered of each other. Kind of like chainmail. And the inscription reads, all that was left of our soldiers were their helmets and their dog tags. It's a tribute towards them.
Manny lags back a little bit, for sure. Just kind of taking that image in. And he gets a little mad, actually, at everything. Like, thinking about everything that went down in the war and the way it went down. And that, as meaningful a gesture as this wall may be, the farce that it represents.
Maud, I'm going to need you to do a survey roll for me, please.
It's a 5.
You spot on one of the helmets. It's scratched off. It's really hard to see, but you see a fleur-de-lis.
I think she's going to excuse herself from the group and find the bathroom as soon as possible.
All right. And she'll take a brain.
For the sake of her mission, and for the sake of how her friends view her as a new professional, she's trying to keep it together, but I think, yeah, that brain mark really just... She just, like, can't. So she's just in the bathroom, just letting all of those emotions go. The long nights hoping that he's out there somewhere living his best life and that he just, like, had run away to escape it all. It's just not true. So this is the first time she's had it looking back at her in the face. And I think it hurts extra that it's in a museum that people have to pay tickets to see.
And as you're in the bathroom and you're crying and feeling all these emotions, you notice your shadow looks different. You're not entirely sure, like, it's hard to see because the, you know, bathroom shadows are always kind of weird, but it doesn't look quite right. It almost looks a little burned, wherever it is. I mean, when you move, the ground is fine, or wherever the shadow casts is fine, but when the shadow's over something, it looks burned.
I think if this is something that she notices, I think she's gonna blame it on kind of the tears blurring her vision, just that she's not seeing right. I think after a minute, do I need to roll to calm down?
No, I'll let you calm yourself down if anyone wants to jump in on this scene.
I'm just, that imagery, bro, that imagery has just got me messed up.
Take a brain.
Yeah, right? I took a brain in real life. What do you mean? Manny's gonna post up outside of the restroom waiting for Maud to come back out.
So I assume we saw her take off and we went after her.
Yeah, you know, it was kind of a quick thing of, like, you see it and Maud runs to the bathroom without a word. Is that right, Maud?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I would like to roll to see if I noticed what she noticed.
Yeah, let's do a survey for you as well.
Nope, didn't see nothing. I was too focused on other things, yeah. I barely even saw her walk off.
You turned around and she was gone. Her footsteps echoing.
Should I roll to see if I knew where she headed off to when she took off?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
New assignment, grief therapy in the shitty public restrooms of this museum.
Something I wanted to ask, world-building-wise, in Storm... Is it Stormwreck? Stormreach?
Stormrock.
Stormrock. I know words. I know English, I swear. I studied the material.
It's all good.
Does this area of town have more access to electricity than most of Cascadia?
Yeah, so West River has electricity. However, because Stormrock is where, you know, the government buildings are, where the prison is, they've actually started incorporating electricity a lot more in this area. And for this museum, as a tribute, you know, they wanted to feel like it was top tier, so they also installed electricity in this museum. So there's electric lights around you.
I rolled a 3.
You see her go away. You don't see what she saw, but you see her run off.
I'm going to tap Manny on the shoulder and say, hey, I'll be right back, and start heading in that general direction that I saw her take off. Arden isn't the type to... She is concerned, but she's not the type to burst in after somebody, so I think she would kind of stand close to the door, wait a few seconds, and gently knock on it before calling out to Maud.
I think in response, after taking a beat, she hears a sniffle and then a, don't come in.
Are you okay? Do you need anything? Is there anything I can do for you?
No, I'm all good. I know Manny always tells us to go before we leave on the carriage, and I should have listened, just give me a minute to wrap up, and I'll be out in a second.
GM, do I believe her?
Why don't you do a read roll for me?
Well, that's a 2. Rolling like trash.
Yeah, you believe her. I mean, your gut instinct as a journalist, you're not quite sure. You do believe her for now.
So I'm going to stay posted outside of the bathroom. I'm going to kind of stand to the side of the door so I'm not obstructing it. Say, okay, I won't come in, but I'll be out here for you when you feel like coming out, okay?
I think after a few more minutes, Maud will come back out and take Arden's arm wordlessly and get ready to head back and finish what they came here for.
Arden's gonna kind of stay as close to Maud as she can as they head back towards Manny.
And just for you and Manny to know, you don't see the change in her shadow. You don't see that. Only Maud sees that. You pass by a couple of the officers. One of them goes, I thought the museum's closed. How did you get in here?
We've been hired to investigate an incident here, and we're looking for the head curator. Can you point it out to him and do something useful, please?
The officer, like, he swears. He says something, like, really offensive that even I can't repeat. And he's like, they hired fucking PIs? Ugh. And it's kind of like, turns back and is like, yeah, the curator is like upstairs.
As Manny's walking away, appreciate you. And if you did your job, we wouldn't be here.
He flips you off.
Manny returns the favor.
Are you guys going to head upstairs?
Yes.
As you head upstairs, you pass by the wall of dog tags. And you see them. They are hanging from chains that have been ruined, but like reconstructed so they're able to be hung, but not changed in any way. And again, it says, you know, these are all that's left of our fallen heroes. Some are just warped. Some are, you know, discolored. Some you can't even read on there anymore. And they hang there. And every breeze that passes by, they kind of tinkle a little bit.
Do we see the curator anywhere around here?
No, you don't.
Aside from the dog tags, is there anything else noteworthy in this room that we would notice?
There's weapons on display. There's, you know, various wreckage that has been recovered from the area. Carts and things. There is no human remains, though. And that's what you're getting from the display. That whatever was once organic did not survive what happened at West Wreck.
I'm going to cautiously step closer to the dog tags and try to examine them.
Alright, do a survey roll for me, please. Actually, focus roll.
While Arden's doing that, I'm going to continue to look around the rest of the room.
Manny, why don't you do a survey for the room?
Got a 5 for the survey roll. Or sorry, focus roll.
And what are you looking for?
I was just observing the dog tags, taking a closer look at them.
There's a lot of names. Some of the names are scratched off. Nothing stands out to you. It's just, you know, a lot of soldiers' names, their numbers.
Aside from some of the names being scratched off, how's the general condition of these dog tags?
Pretty, pardon my use, pretty wrecked. It's, like I said, some have, like, bullet holes in them, some are just completely kind of shattered, but they've been, you know, held up in such a way that you could see where it's been shattered, but not changed.
Manny rolled a 6 and a 1, but rolls at disadvantage on survey. So,
you see nothing. You're really distracted, Manny.
Arden's gonna take her journal back out and just, like she normally does, briefly sketch in bits and pieces of the surrounding.
Is there anything you want to do, Maud?
I think she starts looking over the dog tags if she can find her brother's name. But I think if it takes her more than like a minute, she'll probably stop and realize that this isn't what she needs right now.
She doesn't see his name. Do you guys want to head upstairs?
Yeah, we'll go upstairs.
Upstairs, you see Curator Jackson. You know this because, again, he's wearing one of those lab coat kind of things, and he's talking to one of the officers. He's a wiry kind of man. Blonde hair, pushed back kind of thing. He seems really nervous, you know? And he, like, sees you coming up, and he's like, he has to do a double take. Like, who are these people? And the officers are still around him.
I'm going to call out to him as we approach. Curator Jackson, Arden Barlow, Maeve sent us.
Oh, good. I was wondering when you would show up. Let's go to the basement, and I'll hand you off the package. As soon as we get this out of here, the better.
Good things happen when packages are handed off in the basement, guys.
Do you say that?
No, but just a note for everyone.
An above-the-table comment that we were all thinking.
Yeah. I guess we follow Curator Jackson down to the basement.
As we follow the curator, can I keep an eye out behind us to make sure that we're not being followed?
Sure. Yeah, I think that's another survey roll.
That's a 3.
Nothing jumps out at you. Yeah, and he leads you down to the basement. It's kind of cramped. It's like a lab kind of situation where, you know, looks like he's been working on fixing up artifacts and, you know, cleaning things. There's photographs hanging in a sort of a dark room you can see to the side. And in the back, he goes to one of the boxes, this wooden crate, really. And he's shuffling through it.
Curator, what can you tell us about what happened here?
I wasn't around, but, Where is it? But from what I heard from the other staff, he just touched the thing. And this guy died. There was electricity? I don't know. Where is it? And he's, like, scrambling through this hay kind of padding stuff. You know what I'm talking about? He's finding what he's looking for.
Is something wrong, Curator?
And we'll be back after this message from our sponsor. That isn't actually a real sponsor, but it could be if you sponsored us. So, I don't know. Sponsor us?
Come on down to Owen's Apothecary. We have tinctures, potions, and all sorts of pills that ease your ailments. We have deals on all the cures you need. Owen's miraculous ointment can cure the most stubborn case of pneumonia, and our patent consumption pills will rid you of symptoms in 3 to 4 days. Owen's Apothecary is located in the Gold Reach District, Cascadia, easily accessible via the rail system. We are not liable for misuse of our products, which cause symptoms of lethargy, fever, nausea, glowing skin, radiation sickness, or death.
Thank you, Owen's Apothecary, for sponsoring our show, and now, back to your regularly scheduled programming, Memento Talis, and the Circle of Fragmented Glass.
I put it right here. I put it right here. The only other person I knew was Stevens. Where did it go? It's gone.
And then GM, just Stevens was at the front desk, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Are you sure it could be anywhere else down here?
He goes searching through the other boxes, the other crates in the area. There's a whole stack of crates that looks like he's been slowly working through to, you know, fix things up, to clean things, document things. And he's going through these crates quite frantically. Like, he's kind of freaking out a little bit, this poor guy. You almost fear that he will have a heart attack at any moment.
I have the sneaking suspicion that the dog tag is not down in the basement anymore, but nonetheless, I'm going to walk over and attempt to help him find it amidst these crates.
I'm going to pull out my bleed detector, like, slowly. It's a, my bleed detector is a compass that I got from my parents, and basically it just spins, and the kind of the closer it gets to a strong or a source of bleed, it will slowly stop spinning until it can kind of lead me to and point me towards the source of bleed.
And as you're holding it out in front of you, it's slowly spinning. It's not stopping anywhere, but it's continuing to slowly spin.
And I just kind of, you know, slowly walk about the room. I go towards the box he was initially searching through.
It slows down, but it never stops. It continues to spin.
I'm going to jump out on a limb and say it's not here, and I'm going to pocket my compass again, and that somebody might have taken it. Do you have any idea, Curator Jackson, on who that may have been?
No one's been down here. No one has been down here. Only Stevens, but she would never.
Well, I think we should go have a little chat with Stevens. Would you mind taking us to her?
Yeah. He kind of, like, composes himself a little bit. Like, this man is seriously, like, he looks like he's about to throw up. This poor man. It's not his day. He leads you out of the basement, up the stairs, and towards the info desk. However, Stevens is not there.
Oh, of course she's not.
But you hear a shout in the back of the museum where the helmets were, and the officers go running.
I go running after the officers.
I go running after Arden.
Same.
And as you guys run, you see in front of you a bloody mess. Stevens is on the floor, her throat slit, blood pooling around her. Officers are taking notes. They are looking closely. People are asking, how did this happen? Some look at you guys, a little concerned.
I walk up to the officer that I was talking to earlier and say, so, doing real good today, huh? How? How does something like this happen when there's like 20 of you in the building?
He looks at you and goes, shut the fuck up, man. That's what we're figuring out, man.
Manny just wipes his face and kind of puts up his hands and walks away. Fucking incompetent.
And the officer yells at someone, go get the captain!
I'm gonna try to nudge my way through the crowd as best as I can to try to get closer to the body. As I move towards it, I'm going to take out my pen / bleed detector. I'm gonna click the top and try to see if I can detect any bleed near the scene of the crime.
There's a little trace of bleed here. It points to a pocket in Steven's jacket. The officers kind of look at you like, what are you doing?
Oh no. I'm conflicted on what to do here. Oh no.
Do you want help, Arden?
I'm trying to figure out what I want to do. Maybe. Do you have any ideas?
I will pull out my brooch with the family crest on it and say, sorry, officers, this looks like a mortician's job. I'm going to need you all to step back. I'm going to need my assistant here as well. So, Arden, if you could clear some space, please.
Yeah.
And the officers, they give you a look, and they step back, but they're watching.
Arden, are you investigating in your way, and I will investigate in mine?
Yeah, sounds good.
I'm going to try to get a read on everybody in the room, and I'm looking at facial expressions, I'm looking like micro expressions, I'm trying to see who's feeling shifty besides the curator. Like, is there anybody giving me any sense of, like, this just happened, like, this person's not far and is somewhere in here? So I'm just trying to get a sense of who's who right now.
Roll a read for me.
6 and a 5, but I'm gonna take that 6.
One of the officers looks a little shifty. He seems a little uncomfortable. Maybe this bothers him. I mean, a few of the other officers, one of them actually threw up in the corner. But yeah, you see this one officer who's moving about.
Like, is he pacing? Is he walking around? Like,
he moved around the body, but now it looks like he's leaving.
I'm gonna follow him. As I walk out, I'm not gonna move through the crowd. I'm just gonna follow him. I was gonna try and say, like, hey Arden, I'm walking away, but no, I'm just gonna follow him. And as they get closer towards the entrance, a little bit away from the crowd, I'm going to try and get their attention. Excuse me. I'm going to go with you to the captain. I've got some questions for him as well.
He looks at you kind of startled because he didn't see you following him. He's like, all right, fine. Make it quick, though.
As we're leaving. So, did you see anything while you were there?
No, I was on the second floor. I was with the curator.
I'm going to pull out my compass as if I were looking at a pocket watch. Any read?
No.
It's spinning? All right, puts it away. And missing something. I'm gonna let the girls do their investigation. I'm just going to go with them.
By this time, Arden will be kind of knelt down next to the body and try to position herself such that her back is to the officers, the crowd of officers. And I'm going to make it appear as though, I mean, I'm actually going to do it, but I'm going to attempt to almost, like, reposition Steven so that her arms are crossed over her body rather than splayed out. And as I'm moving her arm, I'm going to try to mask that with my other hand. I'm reaching into the pocket.
And actually, as you are moving her arms, your hand touches her hand and you feel something in her palm.
I instinctively flinch at the feeling. And I look at Maud, very alarmed.
Arden, I don't know if this is your first time seeing a body like this, but I'm going to need you to calm down, okay? And she's going to block even more of Stevens' body's view by leaning and patting Arden on the back so that she can have a little bit less visibility.
I'm going to kind of slowly and as subtly as possible kind of stretch upwards and try to whisper almost through gritted teeth, there's something in her palm.
Then take my handkerchief.
Arden very awkwardly reaches a hand back.
Yeah, she'll go ahead and slip it into Arden's fingers.
Let's do a control roll for me, please.
For me or for her or for both of us?
Actually, no, that's a hide. Sleight of hand is hide.
It's a dual effort, right? Because she's trying to pass me something as well?
Yeah, it's a dual effort. You're trying to make sure the officers don't see this.
So are you giving me a drive?
Yeah, I'll give you a drive. Because my hide is terrible, so.
We got a 6, baby!
6? Yeah, you managed to do it. The officers don't see a damn thing. One of them, like, again, throws up in the corner. Another one is, like, kind of bringing out tape, caution tape, and kind of, you know, section this off. So they don't see a damn thing.
So, GM, if you could clarify, I feel something in her palm. You mean, like, she's holding something in her palm, or there's something in her palm, like, under the skin?
There's something she's holding in her palm.
Okay.
No, there's not something underneath her skin, at least not this time.
Do not give her ideas. Good job.
It was very oddly phrased. I'm going to take Maud's handkerchief and return to the hand that I'm holding and try to wedge it into her palm area and get a grip on whatever it is that she's holding and try to pull it out of her grasp.
And I'll say with that six, you are able to do that, and you pull it out, and it's a little ointment tin, and on it says Dr. Owen's magical ointment.
Oh yeah, Manny uses that for the ashiness on his elbows.
It's kind of a popular product around Cascadia.
Do I get the sense that there's still something, there's still ointment in it, or does it feel pretty empty?
There's ointment in it. Like, it feels like it has weight.
I'm going to pass the handkerchief with the ointment jar back to Maud, and then go back to attempting to reach into the pocket that Red is having a lot of bleed generalized.
I just reach into the pocket. Nothing. There's nothing there. It was a very faint trace of bleed, too. So maybe something was once there, but not anymore.
Arden, are you all good here?
Yeah, I think so. I'm gonna quickly do just a general pat down to ensure there's nothing else in any of her pockets or hidden in any sleeves or anything like that.
You don't find anything. You find pencils, you find some tools, but that's it.
Okay. Yeah, I think I'm done here.
You actually find a big old magnifying glass. I'll give you that.
You know what? Yeah, I'll snatch that. I'll snatch the magnifying glass.
It looks old, like it's, you know, a family heirloom kind of thing.
I will not snatch the magnifying glass.
Are you sure? You don't want to keep it?
I will observe it and then put it back. Because it's a very odd object to have on a person, I will inspect it and see if I see anything odd or, you know, if there's any engravings on the handle or anything. But if it otherwise seems like a normal magnifying glass, I will leave it.
Yeah, it's just normal.
Okay. When you said family heirloom, I was like, nope. Yeah, I think we're good here, Maud.
I'm trying to decide if we have enough information here to move forward with our investigation. Yeah, I'm trying to think of how to approach this next part. Does the throat damage look particularly distinct? Or because it just happened, right? Or at least a few minutes ago. Can we tell from what direction it came? Or anything like that?
It looks like someone came behind her. With your, you know, knowledge and mortuary stuff, it looks like someone came behind her and cut her throat.
Would the magnifying glass be useful to us in this situation?
No. I made it up, okay? It's just there. It's just a family heirloom that she takes to work.
Well, listen, I don't know. Maybe there's...
Okay, then I think one last thing for Maud. I think while she is... I don't know if this person's eyes were opened or closed.
They're, like, partially open.
I think she's gonna put her gloves on, close this person's eyes, and lay her hand over their face for a second. Go ahead and place some ribbon over her eyes as well. And just say some words of peaceful transition into the afterlife. And if she can also make a sense roll to see if there's any lingering spiritual presence from the violent way that she passed.
Yeah. Do a sense roll for me, please.
Okay, that's a 6 and a 5, but it's a 5 on my gilded. But I'll take the 6.
Weirdly enough, as you are tuning into your abilities to try to sense her death, other things come rushing at you. You get these flashes of a young soldier, a man, working at a fort
doing his daily duties. And you only see his back, and then he turns around, and it hits you. You see your brother's face, and he's sweaty, he's dirt covered, but he's happy. He's happy what he's doing. You feel that. And the flashes move, and you see him working in a lab of some sort. He's moving boxes off a truck, weird metallic things, and handing it to scientists. You see him there, he is loading a bomb onto an airship. With six other guys, they are carrying this thing onto the airship. And then that's when the memory ends. And you come back to reality.
Okay. I think she's gonna take her gloves off very gingerly, kind of dab at the corners of her eyes before pulling herself back together and signaling to Arden that I think they're ready to go if she is. She does not want to be in this museum for any longer.
And Maude, you take a brain mark for that.
Damn. This is a stressful assignment for Maude.
Arden nods understanding and will follow Maude's lead.
Manny will be near the entrance of the museum, having tried to cautiously question this officer on, you know, what they were doing, how long they've been in the force, really trying to get a feel for this guy because of the way he was responding to the event. Like, he's trying to get out of here a little too fast. So, like, he's trying to get some, like, probe something out of him, engage, get some responses.
You know what? I want to do a re-roll for you, Manny.
That's a 6 and a 4.
Yeah, this guy, though, he's honest when he's talking to you. He's giving you, like, short answers, but he's honest about it. He's like, yeah, I've been in the force for a while. Why are you asking me all these questions? I'm the officer here.
Trying to get to know you better, man. I know you guys get a lot of a really bad rap. And I want to make sure, you know, as a private investigator of sorts, I want to make sure, you know, that our relationship isn't tarnished because of a tragic event and in both of our presences like this. I want to make sure, you know, we both look good in front of your captain as much as possible. I wanted to get to know you a little better.
Leave me alone, man. I'm just trying to do my job.
You and me both, brother. You and me both. But that's fine. That's fine. And as they get to the entrance, I'll wait for you to bring the captain back here.
He goes off, he gets the captain, and they return, just like he said.
At that point, as he goes to leave, I'll meet back up with Arden and Maude.
And for Maude, with the second brain mark, your shadow comes clear, and it's not your shadow anymore. It looks like a soldier.
I don't know if she's looking down yet. I think she's just trying to push forward and get it done.
As we approach, as we regroup with Manny, Arden's gonna ask, so did you find anything?
No, that douchebag didn't know anything. Freaking mook. So, anything? Like, what the hell?
I didn't get much of anything except, I mean, she had some Dr. Owens ointment.
Nothing else? Did the dog tag wasn't on her?
And you know this ointment, because you guys have been in Cascade for a little bit. You've seen the shop around for Dr. Owens here and there.
Manny continues to ask, like, trying to probe Arden and Maude, like, there was nothing. No dog tag, no, just the magic cream tin. That's all we've got?
I mean, I got a faint trace of bleed from one of her pockets, but when I checked it, the pocket was empty. So something was in there and then wasn't, but I have no idea where it is now.
And it seemed like her throat was cut from behind, so it most likely was stolen from her pocket after she was attacked, which means that they couldn't have gone far.
Easy peasy, Maeve said. Nothing's ever easy.
Become an investigator, they said.
See the world, they said.
It'll be fun, they said.
Yeah, Maude in the back with two brain marks. Not fun.
I'm gonna ask Maude if I can inspect. God, you know, this might not be necessary, but I'm gonna do it anyway. I'm gonna ask to inspect the ointment jar, because why not?
Yeah, you open it up. There's ointment in it.
I will take a backup pen, kind of poke and prod at it to see if it is in fact ointment.
It's ointment, yeah. But as you're poking and prodding, you find a key.
I'm going to use the pen to kind of try to dig it out of the ointment. Maud, how much do you care about that handkerchief?
Oh, not at all. It's like a use it and lose it sort of situation, just for sanitary reasons when dealing with bodies.
Great. I'm going to use the handkerchief to kind of clean the cream off of the key.
It doesn't say anything on it. It's just a key.
That's so unhelpful. Okay. I'm gonna fold the ointment-covered side of the handkerchief in on itself and then use the clean sides to wrap the key and put it in my pocket.
Is this something we should talk to the curator about?
Possibly. I think Manny went off to find the curator. We should...
Well, I'm a little bit worried for his safety.
Do we know which direction he headed off in?
He's pretty close by. He looks beside himself. He didn't see Manny, but the curator is there.
Curator Johnson, what in the hell?
Oh, no. Okay, I'm gonna approach the curator.
I don't know. She... I don't... She's gone.
Yeah. Do you know anybody who may have... She may have been in contact recently. Does she have any enemies? Why would she take the item in the first place? Something's not adding up. Curator Jimson, and I need to know what's going on.
She wouldn't take the item. She was one of the few employees here that I trusted with holding the item to stay secure. She was the one I trusted to put it away.
Obviously she didn't, because we went down there and it wasn't where it was supposed to be. So I understand how you feel about her and how what you may have thought, but what is happening or what has happened leads me to think otherwise. So I need you to think, who has she been around lately? Has she been going out to weird lunches? Has anybody been frequenting the museum prior to the recovery of this dog tag? I need answers, Joshuason, because something's not right.
I don't know. We get lunch together, usually in the cafeteria upstairs. As far as I know, she goes home and she comes here. That's all she does. She loves her work. She loved her work. Why? I don't know why she would do this. Why would she do this?
I don't know. And I'm extremely sorry for the loss here. She seemed really nice. But was she hurting for money? Would she may have been trying to sell it? I need to figure out what's going on here, and you know as well as I do how dangerous this item can be.
She did mention needing money. She mentioned she needed to pay off some people. She only mentioned it briefly. As far as I know, she paid it off. I pay her a good wage here.
Awesome. What people?
I paid her.
I believe it. It's a very nice place you have here, but what people?
She didn't say.
Does she have an office? A separate office, a desk?
No, but she has a locker.
And I know it's been a lot, but would you mind showing us her locker, please?
Yeah.
Let's get you out of the room here.
He kind of scurries away, like he needs to get away from seeing his coworker, former employee / mentee. He needs to not see her like this. And he leads you to the back rooms where, you know, employees go to get changed, put on, you know, uniforms, to put their stuff away. And he points to a locker that says Hazel Stevens. I think I have a master key somewhere around here. He eventually pulls out like a full-on key ring and he opens the locker for you.
I know this may be difficult. I would prefer it if you didn't talk to the periphery about this item and this part of the investigation. But thank you for your help so far. But please don't brief the periphery on this side.
I can't keep them back for that long. They'll...
I know. I know, but this, the at least in regards to the item itself, let's keep that piece a little quieter.
He sniffles. He's like, promise me you will find who did this.
I'm gonna do my best.
He nods and walks away.
Before the curator walks away, while he's walking away, could I ask him something?
He's walking away and you catch up to him, yeah.
I'm so sorry for your loss, curator. It's never easy. I was wondering if you could give me a little bit more information on the dog tag itself. Do you know if they're, I guess, do you know if it belonged to a particular soldier that might have been close to Stevens at all?
He thinks about it. He, like, rifles through his pockets again. He pulls out his, like, notebook. I believe the name on it was Sean. Sean Fleurly. And that's where we'll take our break. Thank you for listening to Memento Tellis. Please like, subscribe, and share this podcast on all podcast networks. Follow us on social media at Memento Tellis on Twitter and at memento.tellis on Instagram. See you next time!